Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
So welcome, here we are at ReadyPop in Reading. We are but a stone's throw away from the Reading Festival site. And I'm here, Mark Mayer, your Tarlehurst End podcast host, with two of the guys from the Amazons. We're here with Matt, who is the lead singer slash guitarist. How's it going, Matt?
Hi.
And Joe, who's the drummer. How's it going?
Hello.
So, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
It's been a nice cold day for you guys to be stuck in rehearsing for your show. We'll just have a quick word. February the 10th is the Hexagon sold-out show. Looking forward to that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the night of our careers, Joe.
I think so. It's a place that everyone's been to see some kind of show or...
Pantomime
or anything like
hallowed ground.
So for a Reading band to be playing that, you know, that venue, really, I don't know if that's happened before.
So. I don't think that's happened before. So it's almost, we're making history.
Mm.
Reading history,
yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah, I saw the Chuckle Brothers twice there.
Oh, yeah, I saw the Chuckle Brothers,
yeah,
actually.
It's good. Yeah. And I saw, my first ever gig was Boot Led Zeppelin at the Hexagon.
Nice.
So it's full circle now.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you guys are a Reading fan, so let's chat a little bit about Reading before we get stuck into the gig then. I want to start all the way back, go chronologically through this in a way. What are your earliest memories of being a Reading fan and picking Reading as your team?
I think I remember seeing us in 2002. I think that was my first football match. My dad took me on the bus. Maybe it'd be Crystal Palace, like 2-1 or something. And then... I didn't go again for years and years and years until 2010.
Mm.
And then I went with my friends because I just like rediscovered that I liked football and stuff. And then I got a season ticket. That was in Brian McDermott's first season, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And actually went to his first home game against Barnsley.
Oh, yeah.
Longy got a last minute like penalty or something like that.
Oh yeah, I think as we were
cold night,
yeah, staving off relegation that year.
Yeah, and then he kind of turned it around and we had a great season. And Sigurdsson was wicked that season. I think that was the season. He'd taken over from Brendan Rodgers and put us on the right course. What about you, Joe?
My earliest memory is my uncle used to run and own a Reading Saab dealership. They used to be one of the sponsors at Elm Park.
Oh, nice.
So my dad used to, he worked for my uncle, and so they used to get tickets and they had a box there. So that was my earliest memory, I think, watching Ipswich at Elm Park. I must have been about 7 or something. I can't even remember. I mean, Phil Parkinson was probably still playing then.
Yeah, what are your memories of Elm Park? Because, I mean, it's sort of... It is getting to be that like far away now and like the atmosphere and everything so different to how the Medeski is. What are your memories of going there and how the setup of the stadium was?
I remember having to stand rather than sit down, that's for sure.
Should be a problem for a child.
Yeah. But I mean it was so long ago. I remember getting just trying to think of like the old turnstiles and stuff. I mean, it was, I've still got a flag, a scarf that my dad got me from the Reading versus Bolton playoff final.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's a really old scarf.
That's pretty good.
And it's attached to my like hardware bag for ages.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like everywhere.
Yeah, took that on tour.
But yeah, my memories of Elm Park, I mean, that game, I mean, yeah, I was like 7 years old, but so I can't really remember that much about it apart from that one game I went to.
So does that mean you missed the 106 season then? Did you sort of detach yourself from football for that and
yeah,
kind
I wasn't
of passed you by a lot?
I was into just like playing guitar and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I didn't have that much interest in football at that time, but it was definitely a big thing when I was at school, when all my friends who were going on about Kitson and all that lot, and Doyle and Sidwell and
yeah. What about yourself, Joe? Were you fully involved in the record breaking season, or was that again for you?
Well, my parents moved to Devon actually when I was in like year 8. So I was down there. I'd always supported Reading because that's the games that my dad took me to, because it was local. We used to live in Maidenhead.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to Devon, like, we just went and started watching Torquay for ages. So then I went, you know, I didn't say I supported them, but we just went on a Saturday. And then I moved back up this way and then the first thing I did was got a Reading season ticket and followed them pretty much home and away for that first Brian McDermott season.
Oh, we must have started at the same time.
Pretty much. Same but I still followed it like through like the Martin Allen days and
Pardew
and stuff.
Mm.
I think that was quite an exciting time, that McDermott season, because we weren't necessarily a team that was, you know, trying to win promotion and, you know, going spending loads of money, but there was just a good atmosphere about the place, really entertaining football, wasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah, I miss those days, that's for sure.
We were complete underdogs.
Yeah,
in terms of underdog. It was like, we weren't on anyone's lips for, you know, the in terms of the pundits saying, already.
They would never do it. They would never show us in the highlights first or anything like that.
No.
I never thought they would. We're not a very fashionable club. But we had the Reading way, really, wasn't it? That was the whole setup with Medeski when he owned the football club outright, and there was the director of football and Brian McDermott, and it was a good little system. Mm. And I think it being not having all the money in the world kind of forces you to be more creative and almost build your own ethos. And that was the Reading way that they kept on going on about, having like how many like academy players graduated compared to now, really. And how many absolute bargains did we get?
Well,
we
had
some great scouts like Doyle on Long, and
that was the chant, Davy Kitson, what a bargain.
And players who probably didn't have the like top ability, but were like, who really wanted to play for the club.
There was a desire. They all wanted it badly enough that season, I think. And also, I think McDermott's tactical, you know, he played to the players' strengths, if you know what I mean. Like, we have Kebe and stuff. I mean,
we had Mikel Edgewood in the middle and John Carrigan.
Yeah, he just utilised the players that he had, I think, really well.
Yeah, and it was a good, solid championship team. And it had an ethos, and everyone believed in what the manager was saying.
And then Medeski became a bit of a fortress. Teams didn't really like come in there.
Because we would just nip games from them.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how well everyone played, we would still beat them.
Because we had our first trip to Wembley in 2011 for the Swansea playoff final, which we lost. Yeah. You guys went, and what are your memories of that day?
Thorough disappointment.
So much excitement. And then from about the first half, when just like, you could just, everyone was just sinking into their seat, weren't they? When the goals kept on coming in.
They completely outplayed us. It was like,
the
pace they had with, was it Dyer they had?
And they had
Scott Sinclair as well.
Yeah, Sinclair,
the
Dyer.
SPL
champion. Yeah, they deserve to go up, really, I think.
But we gave it a good go in the second.
They haven't come back down, have they? So they've
stayed. Well, yeah.
True. We came.
We got back to 3-2.
And then
Karachan hit the post.
Yeah.
And cleared off the line. And I think that was the moment that we all sort of, as a collective mass, that was the realisation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't going to happen. Would have been quite the comeback, to be fair.
Still never won.
Didn't Matt Mills get a header or something?
Yeah, Matt, that was the first goal, wasn't it? And then, that was the second goal, because the first goal was like an own goal. Both of them were from corners.
Yeah, of
and
course.
And then, then we had that.
We had Kishnashvili or something like that at the back.
That was his worst game as well. The playoff final, he had an absolute
shocker. Kebe came back and he was rubbish as well. That one game, it was just,
I wonder what the mentality of any Reading team that gets to the playoff final.
I don't know.
Because
something happens.
It's a bit like the Red Sox and Babe Ruth when he moved to the Yankees, and they said it was the curse of the Babe, and they never won a World Series like after he left for a long time.
Oh, right.
It's a bit like that with Reading, isn't it? If you get to playoff final, everyone wants to avoid that by like getting automatic promotion, because we know that
it's like England at World Cups, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. I don't know what it is. Is it the occasion or what? But we
did have 2012 was a good season. That was probably one of my favourite seasons as a supporter.
When we won the league.
That was one of my favourites.
Was that as a Southampton?
Yeah.
At the top, battling it out.
And West Ham as well.
We stuffed Southampton and West Ham away. That was again the season I followed home and away.
Yeah.
And that was, I totally agree with you. That was an incredible season.
Yeah, I remember going to both those games, and it was just a case of, again, we weren't the favourite to win it at all. We weren't the team that everyone was expecting to do well. We were just the team that turned up and kind of beat the massive favourites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That was just the Reading way, wasn't it? The ethos. That's what it was. It had like we had all these characters in the team.
We went up though, and from then on, I mean, did you enjoy the Premier League season when we were up there? Because I remember it was my first year at uni, and it was the only time at uni where I actually got to talk about Reading, because every other time, no one's interested in talking about Reading. And we were in the Premier League, and things went well for more or less 6 months. And then we got, you know, through the trapdoor, basically, and got relegated. How do you guys reflect on that?
I feel the big thing for me, I worked out that caused the change in the club, was the whole Zingarevich disaster.
Yeah.
I think that kind of set the tone a little bit. Maybe with Medeski at the helm, if he had financial, he would have kept McDermott, which I thought would be the right thing to do. And we would have kind of almost mimicked a Burnley, Sean Dyche kind of thing, where it's not this kind of anxiety about not being in the league. It's more about kind of knowing what kind of club you are and sticking with what works, even if you get relegated that first season, because Burnley are back and they're better than ever, and they're by no means going to be going down, I don't think.
I think the trouble Reading as a club have as well is, unfortunately, it's spending power. When you get to the Premier League, you have to spend and strengthen, and we've just never had the opportunity to be able to do that when we've been up there, which is, you know, that's just the club we are. You know, we're never going to be, you know, I don't think, a really rich multi-million pound club. So I think that's always a bit of a struggle when you get up there and you can't spend.
Yeah, and there's also spending wisely. I don't think Burnley have gone out and spent 50 million, have they? I might be completely wrong.
Yeah, there are plenty of teams who have gone there in the Championship at the moment. You've got the likes of Derby, QPR, have spent a lot of money and it hasn't worked. And then it all depends how you spread it up. And I think having a good manager is a massive part of that as well.
Yeah.
And have you sort of watched on, having had the McDermott and the old style of football and everything, in the last few years, Reading have become more of a passing team in a sense. It's become a lot more, I'd say, modern to an extent.
Yeah.
In a large sense of the word. Do you think that's been for the betterment of the club, or have you felt like the club has gone in an interesting direction with that?
I feel like the club's been looking in the wrong direction, I think. I think the club's gone in the wrong direction since that season, really, actually. Letting go of McDermott, bringing on, how many managers have we had?
Yeah.
And then this kind of lack of, this kind of disintegration through more foreign owners. There's nothing wrong with them being foreign. It's about them investing in the club, not just in money, in actual care and stuff.
Yeah.
The disintegration of the Reading way, which I thought, for me, which was what made the club special. Even if we were winning or losing, it was kind of like, well, we do things our way.
Yeah.
I don't really care about this kind of trying to do more modern football or whatever. It's more like, because we haven't really got anywhere with it. In terms of, it's not made anyone less. Hasn't made anyone like enjoy the football more, has it? Look at this season, with our fourth or fifth manager since that 2012 season or whatever, and we're not doing that well.
Yeah. What would you say, Joe? Would you say that it's an entertainment factor that's perhaps gone missing from the club? Do you think it's ultimately the right thing to be chasing, or is it actually perhaps not even something that the club is chasing, it's just something that each manager has decided to go with?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I never really warmed to Nigel Atkins all that much, only because he was at Saints and he was such a smug person when he was at Saints.
But this is it, we're getting who was the guy, the Scottish guy afterwards?
Steve Clarke.
Steve Clarke made his ambitions known that he just wanted to be at the Premier League. Then I guess we had Brian back for a bit, but that never worked because the ingredients weren't there. It wasn't the same.
Wasn't
the same setup.
I do like Stan as a manager. I think.
But he's also made his. He's made it known that if a bigger club came in, then
he'd go. Yeah.
I don't like that. It's not the Reading way. It's not what I enjoyed about the club when I was going. Week in, week out, and all that kind of stuff. I liked that.
There's some security. There's some
identity. I don't think we feel like just another club now with kind of mercenary players, and it doesn't feel that special anymore. I guess we've got a couple of academy players, Liam Kelly, Abita and stuff, who were cool. I guess like Ewan McShane, he's quite a cool guy. I like him. I like Liam more, but he's off. I'm sure he's off.
Yeah,
you reckon?
Yeah, he's too good for us.
that's a bad sign when you're realising your players are too good for your team.
Yeah, I think so. At the present moment, we're not doing that great, are we?
I'm surprised no one's come in from. I haven't seen any rumours about any. I saw that there was interest from some big clubs.
I think it's West Ham was the interest that I saw. Yeah, no, nothing material.
No.
But for me, like, even if you're losing and stuff, it's a lot easier to. It's a lot better to take if there's like a reason. There's this Reading way. There's this like idea. There's an identity behind the team. That kind of cements everything together, but it makes it harder to take when you're losing. And what is Reading FC? What does it stand for anymore?
What's it for? Yeah.
What's the point anymore? You've got a manager who's great and he's cool. He obviously cares about it, but he'd go at a minute's notice to a bigger club, as Premier League club. Same with a couple of the players, I'm sure, which is okay, but it's just not what I enjoyed about Reading. Might as well watch a Premier League club.
Do you think that we were lucky? And last year's playoff final, we got obviously so close to getting promoted. Do you think there was an element of luck to that? How did you enjoy that sort of whole thing? Because the playoff semi-final against Fulham, that was
we went to that, didn't we?
And then we were actually away. We were playing in Nottingham. And we had a day off, and we watched it in a pub. And there was
full of Huddersfield fans.
So, and I said as soon as it went to penalties, I was like, there's no way we're winning this.
Yeah.
I just knew that penalties was never going to be the way for us to win that game.
It's not the type of thing that we would win, is it, penalties?
No,
we'd have to do
no,
it a different way.
No, it's not.
I think
we
probably
needed to. Being very negative about it, but that, like, it was incredible that we got there in the first place, you know.
Nice bit of a momentum, I think, there.
Yeah.
There was obviously some kind of things going on there that aren't being replicated this season. I think it's really easy to point the finger at the manager. Obviously, the buck stops with him, but it might not necessarily be in his control. Maybe, like, who left last season? Was there
Danny Williams left over the summer. There wasn't masses of players that did leave. That's kind of the befuddlement about it, in a way, is that a lot of the players are still there, and we are playing the same sort of football, which, and the same manager, in theory, should all be slotting into place. But that's kind of the missing ingredients. It must be somewhere.
I guess we kind of caught, like, Kermigan, like, that was his good season. He's an old dude, like, he's had a long career and stuff. Can't really rely on him as our main scorer.
We've always missed,
that was his sweet spot. I think
we've always missed the opportunity to snag, like, apart from when Long was in his prime and Doyle was, since then we've struggled to snag like a 21 goal a season striker.
Yeah.
Even when we came up, like, it was Roberts and Hunt, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, and I guess it's money. I remember when Long was banging them in, and I was thinking, we need some cover for this guy. And Charlie Austin was at Swindon, and I was like, me and my mates were like, he's the kind of guy we've got to go after. He's, you know, I know he was playing at Swindon, which is like the enemy.
He was ex-Reading.
But he was like, I don't think he was going for a lot of money at the time. And
yeah,
it was like,
he would have been a good signing.
Someone like that. I thought Lafondre was decent when
Lafondre was wicked.
Yeah, well, I was very happy. I was actually at Reading Festival when I found out we'd signed Lafondre.
Right.
And it was me and two other mates who are Reading fans. They're like, oh, yes, go on, but this is going to be a good season now. Yeah. And that was, that's 2011, so it was a good season after that.
Yeah.
But he didn't come for much money at all, did he?
No, he came from League Two, so it's about 100 grand.
When was the last time we bought an absolute bargain and he's come good? We don't do that as much.
Mansé, what a player.
But what I'm just saying that in the last couple of seasons, we don't seem to have that. The managers aren't interested in that kind of thing.
Do we struggle to attract those kind of players?
But no, we surely can't. If like a player like Lafondre was at Huddersfield.
Rotherham.
Like taking the chart, well, you have to almost have to gamble on these kind of players, but we don't. Yeah. I don't think we've been taking that many.
But that might be the way the game has changed in a way. It's harder. Like Doyle playing in Ireland, there's probably only like three or four scouts watching him max. If a good player plays in Ireland these days, half the Premier League is there the next weekend watching him, and that might just be that the way the game has gone in large respects.
Or maybe just all the personnel at Reading, maybe the scouts, maybe that. we don't have Nicky Hammond, who everyone hated for some reason, but actually
I don't know why people hate
He was
were you a fan of him?
Yeah, I was, because he was the Reading Way, like one of the orchestrators.
Was the guy looking out for them. I'm not sure the managers we've had over the last couple of seasons have been interested in going for bargains or taking a chance on anyone or anything like that. I think it's more like, oh, we don't have the spending, we need to get, like, I don't know, proven Championship or proven Premier League, because there's this more of a short-sightedness, because there is no ethos to work for.
Yeah.
There's no long-term plan with Reading anymore, because you don't know if these current owners are going to be here in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, how much money they're
putting in. There's no continuity at any point of it, when, like, Lakey Hammond or Medeski were the guys over a long period of time. And that really helps.
Who's the new director of football?
Ryan Tevreden, the Dutch guy there is. And there's also Ron Gourlay, who came from Chelsea, who's our, like, chief executive at the moment.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's it. Who are our owners now?
Chinese siblings, aren't they?
Yeah.
They made their money. In China, they have, like, old nuclear bunkers that they turned into shopping malls. And they made their money out of that. They built the shopping malls and old nuclear bunkers. So that's kind of what's funding our spending at the moment. Is that old concept.
Interesting. I think probably what's happening to Reading is kind of just being, is what's happening to football in the top leagues across the country.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, just because you've got more money to play with it, I don't think it's necessarily the right thing to do for the club and ultimately for the fans.
So how has it been, and let's shift the focus on to how you guys have been keeping on top of Reading and everything. You've been on tour for pretty much all of 2017, as a Gavin, of 2016 a bit as well.
Yeah.
How has that been in terms of keeping up with the team, keeping up with what's going on at home? Has it been a case of just knuckling down and straight on with the tour, or have you been, you know, watching the YouTube highlights and everything like that?
Yeah, do all that. We follow Reading. Thank God for Twitter, and thank God for, like,
Sky
BBC Sports. Sport. Yeah. You got the Sky Sports app. I go on BBC Sport. Yeah, just follow. We follow all that. Obviously, they don't have as much. They don't have a huge amount of like coverage and stuff. But it's enough. We'll discuss the score and discuss our signings and the manager and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially recently, when there's been question marks over his job and stuff.
Mm.
Nice juicy stuff to talk about on the road.
Speculation about who would replace him.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time on the road, that's for sure, to, like, kind of talk endlessly about football.
We play
a lot of FIFA as well.
Yeah, we play a lot of FIFA on the road.
How's it been with the bands that you've been supporting, the bands who have been supporting you? Do they have a football interest, and do you end up talking about football with them and who they support and whatnot?
We talk about it with our crew quite a bit. I mean, the last couple of bands that have supported us, Pale White are from Newcastle, but I think they're not too into it. Obviously, Newcastle's been up
Tom,
and down.
Tom, the bass player, he seemed to know his footballing knowledge was better than those other two toe rags.
Yeah. Who else have we had? We had an Irish team, Irish band. I was about to say club. Irish
really
band.
Like
they don't really like football that much. Or maybe a couple of them support Manchester United or something like that.
Liverpool.
One of those ones. Not really. I think we're more footballing than a lot of bands out there, to be fair. I don't know that for certain. But the bands that we've hung out with, there's not a huge amount of football interest. Oh, no, the boys from You Me at Six.
Oh, yeah,
Into their footy.
Yeah, that's true. Josh is a big Arsenal fan.
Yeah, the lead singer of You Me at Six is a massive Arsenal fan. He's like, who did he hang out with?
Thomas Rosicky.
Yeah,
went
Thomas
to one Rosicky. Of their shows.
Oh, nice.
Like, and
he, he really liked Max the guitarist's shirt, so Max swapped shirts with him.
They were well into their football, to be fair. Yeah, that was good.
We were supposed to play a five-a-side game against them, but never
in Amsterdam. They chickened out.
Yeah, because I know Royal Blood are massive Brighton fans.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, yeah, there's odd little bits. And in terms of, like, footballers, like, in rock music as well, I remember Jay Tabb was an old Reading player who was massive into his rock music. But
he's into...
Marcus Hanneman loved his metal.
Yeah.
Isn't Jay Tabb playing, like, rugby now? Look it up. Honestly, the two boys that I live with, Ben and Pete, are massive, massive Reading fans. They go every week, and they'll probably be listening to this at some point. And... yeah, they said Jay Tab, because we always reminisce about where everyone is, like all the players are and stuff, what they're doing.
Really? He's playing rugby.
Yeah, Jay Tab's playing rugby. It's an amateur side, I think.
For some club team.
He always felt like he could be that player who's so tenacious.
Yeah,
an absolute engine, and he's so like small and stocky in that.
It just says Jay Tab is a British-Irish footballer and rugby union player.
Rugby? I don't think it's... I think it's an amateur side for the fun.
Yeah, I remember him when I went to... It was like Crystal Palace away when he played for Reading. He was on the same train back as us. He didn't get the coach because he lived locally. And
he is
built like a rugby player, to be fair to him. You notice with these footballers, they are built so much more like that than you realise.
There were so many characters back then when we didn't pay much for players. There was loads of characters like Jay Tab, Ian Hart, the slowest guy, but what a left foot.
Yeah,
what
a left foot.
Yes, Gunnarsson. Like all these players, not quite like incredible, but
Simon
like
Church, my lord.
Simon Church. Noel Hunt. Who else? Oh yeah, Monse, pretty good.
He's
like pulled
Songko,
off some apps. Yeah,
20 pence head.
Yeah. Inga Marston. So many good players, so many great players. Kebe, the most temperamental diva winger.
No,
like,
I'd love
either
to know
rubbish
what
he's doing or now. So good.
Where are they now? You should do a feature on Reading.
He
went to Crystal Palace and he dropped off the face of the earth at age about 31. I think he was last seen playing poker somewhere.
Right.
And I mean,
what happened to Raziak? He scored against Torquay years ago, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I think when I'm
free agent, it just says on it.
When I worked in a pub in Charville a few years ago, I'm pretty sure I served Raziak because he came in with his kids. And I think he was like working for like in some preliminary role with the club at that point.
Oh right.
But he is retired now, and I remember serving him, just being there. Like no one else in my pub had any idea who it was. I was just like, no, it's some Polish striker that I used to watch at Reading. Like,
proper player that. I think he went to like Cyprus or something to play football.
Yeah.
What a league. We've had some great players. Lafondre, his couple of like last minute equalisers.
Yeah.
One against Chelsea.
Proper poacher,
what,
wasn't it?
Such a poacher. Probably one of the best finishes I've seen at Reading.
Yeah.
If it was him in the box, then bang, there. So many great players who were brilliant in Reading, they like peaked at Reading.
That's
and then
the thing,
when
they
left.
Did nothing afterwards.
I love that because that means that it's all about the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
Like rather than individuals.
Mm-hmm. Sean Morrison. I still love Sean Morrison.
Oh, yeah,
he went to.
He's at Cardiff.
Yeah. He's at Cardiff, mm-hmm. yeah.
He's a captain, actually.
Remember when Matt Mills swore at the
crowd? That's the one thing that I always remember about Matt Mills.
Yeah,
he scored in the playoff final, forget that, when he flipped the birds
so
to the crowd.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And his brother, Joe Mills, like came.
From Southampton, he was god-awful.
Yeah, he weren't that great. That was our prep. The amount of, like, I remember on our, when we won the league, like, some of the first games that we watched, That was the season where like Matthew Monse like helped us, like we lost to Scunthorpe or something, one of the first matches. We were losing to Millwall 2-0 down and he brought it back, like we were playing like catch up all the time.
Joe
Mills was just not great, and I was remember watching Watford at home and going, this is one of the worst football games I've ever seen. And we went on to win the league. What a season. And every other team in the entire league must have hated our guts because we didn't deserve that.
Where do you guys usually sit around the Madstead then? Because I'm a northeast corner kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm always, that's where I prefer to sit. There's obviously like the southeast corners a bit more in amongst the.
I was Y25.
Oh, yeah,
and I had my season ticket.
He was the guy. Joe was the guy standing out, arms crossed.
There is some photos of me actually. I don't know if they'd be online. I've got some at home. Reading Chronicle.
Mm.
Of me with my shirt off at Cardiff when we won the semi final playoff.
Joby McEnough.
Yeah.
Oh,
and yeah.
And I was so drunk that I thought we'd won at half time. The first half seemed to have gone for so long.
Yeah, right.
And then there's pictures of me when we won, like swinging my like shirt around my head in the Reading Chronicle.
That's incredible. Y23 about 10 rows up. It was good. You didn't get the depth of the pitch, but it was like on the halfway line. And you could hear all like the players like shouting.
Mm.
It was good. Like at each other, like swearing at each other. And we saw like Hal Robson-Kanu like stamp on some guy's foot And we were like, oh my God, our hero. Like, we were quite, our hero is such a dirty player. And we like tweeted him like, that was so wrong, man. I bet he looked at it like, what the hell?
I used to see him buying fillet steak in Waitrose on the way there.
Oh really?
That all he used
He's
to
a big
buy.
Guy, old HRK.
Yeah.
Good player.
Where's he now?
West Brom. Oh, Premier West League, Brom? Man. Well, he's linked with like, Atletico Madrid.
Oh,
and is I was he actually just... getting in at West Brom? Right.
Not a huge
right,
amount. Nah. He had that wicked game for Wales, didn't he? He's got that redonkulous
goal.
That was our, like, we did an awards for the podcast for that year, and that was the comedy moment of the year. Yeah. When Robson Kanu leaves on a free and scores the winning goal for Wales in the European quarterfinals.
Yeah. I was just so infuriated. Like, why didn't you play like that all season for us?
Yeah.
He always felt like he could be wicked. And I remember when we were in the Premier League, he was really good. And that annoyed me.
I think all the Newcastle him. Players were saying the same thing about Sissoko.
Oh, yeah. He was in the French final, like, weren't he?
Yeah, and he played the game of his like career.
And Newcastle like, had just been relegated.
This, yeah, where is this going to be in the whole season? Oh, yeah.
How have you found it with the club and like all the you know little access bits? You've been, I saw you did an acoustic set in the dressing room.
Yeah,
how has
cool.
it been with all that? Have there been much in the pipeline? Because I know you got, is it Black Magic plays just as the players come out? With the
yeah, that's
and,
amazing.
Like incredible.
The club actually has done a huge amount. I know that, yeah, we did that. We got a tour around the club. Yeah, we did that little acoustic session.
There were rumours that we'd been asked to DJ their Christmas party.
Oh yeah,
it never came to fruition.
I think
and
the season was going so bad that it was
maybe Stan like
cancelled
the Christmas party.
No, I don't. We haven't got a huge amount in the pipeline with them. I think a couple of Reading players are going to come to the Hayes again.
Oh nice.
I've been told the exact.
Yeah, our management said that.
So it was quite fun to try and work out who it was.
We thought Paul McShane seemed the kind of guy I would like.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'd expect so.
It seems like a cool guy, McShane. Actually.
Maybe Chris Gunter.
I'd like to meet.
Yeah, he was a Glastonbury.
Yeah, oh, was he?
Yeah,
Gunter
was Glastonbury.
Right. Okay. It feels like that then. He obviously has good taste. To be fair, Gunter, he's a Reading player because he's stuck around for quite a long time.
And, I think he's one of our longest serving now.
Yeah, I like that, and he's a pretty much a regular, one of the first names on the sheet. He's a pretty dependable fullback, isn't he?
Yeah.
I like him. I do like him. He's a hard worker. We like hard workers, don't we?
Puts in the miles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would you ever be interested in writing a specific club anthem?
Absolutely not.
No, did you see that
the Thai one?
The old owner that she wrote. That was interesting. I would describe it.
That was not the Reading way, my friend.
That was just embarrassing.
When I first started going, there was some kind of Reading anthem.
Yeah, there is. I forget who it's by, which
is
going to...
kind of like rock-esque.
I was thinking more like, you know, Ant and Dex, we're on the ball, something like that, but with Reading players. I think that'd be quite...
maybe might do like a morning final. Super light, sad ballad.
Yeah.
About getting relegated. About I don't know, like a note to Brian McDermott or something.
Yeah.
Someone did write a note to Brian McDermott. I'm pretty sure someone wrote a note to Brian McDermott like as he left the first time.
Oh,
I used to go to school with his daughter.
Oh, right, yeah. Cool.
So let's talk about how music and everything growing up in Reading and how you sort of found that, because I saw you did a little BBC Radio 1 thing when you were going around, you were talking about it, you went down like Rising Sun Arts Centre and everywhere like that and had a little look around. How has it been... like how did, for people who just sort of watch football and maybe haven't heard of you guys so much, how would you say that you got into the band, how everything sort of formed and how it's been this past year when you've obviously gone from not being many people knowing about you to being quite massive?
I mean, we've been playing together for 4 years now, haven't we?
4 years.
4 years, yeah. We kind of met at that Queen's Arms pub about 4 years ago or something. And we've just been building up and playing tiny venues and stuff in Reading and
Purple Turtle, Oakford,
Rising Sun Arts Centre, if you've heard, and just building up a bit of a name in Reading. And then just, because I mean, if you don't build a name in your own hometown, then you never will anywhere else. So did a fair bit of that, and over the years really just kind of built up a fan base. And it was only in the last year, really, that when we released our album, that it kind of really kicked in, and we kind of found a new level of busyness, which was always good. You always just want to be busy, man. You want to get out there and play shows and write records and record stuff. So yeah.
Is it possible to build a fan base in Reading? Because when it comes to like growing up in Woodley myself and going to gigs, has always been in London pretty much.
Yeah.
The amount of gigs, I mean, I'm going to see Spring King tomorrow. I'm going to obviously see you guys. And that's probably some of the only gigs I've been to in the last 12 months in Reading. I mean, does everyone just want to go to London? Do you guys as a band want to go to London? Does it?
Yeah.
How does that sell?
There's a kind of ceiling on how big the acts could be to an extent with Reading. Obviously we've got like your Sub 89, which is about 600 cap. Hexagon's pretty good, but they're not I don't think they kind of a lot of bigger upcoming bands.
Because it's so close to London.
Yeah.
And every band does a London date, and it makes no sense
for them
for a touring band to do a Reading
and a London.
A London.
Yeah, really. In terms of touring circuits for, you know.
The Maccabees played the Hexagon, but they didn't do a London date on that run of shows. So.
Most recent band to do a London date and Reading and do well was Royal Blood.
Yeah, because they did Riverbeam, of course.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see that show, but we went down to their show at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
When we came off tour, and we did not regret it.
No.
Yeah, I saw that tour in Nottingham. Actually, it was a really good show. Good. Yeah.
Mm. Really good. So there isn't that kind of regular, like if you're in London or whatever, that's regular bands on all the time. So I guess that probably means you get less bands in Reading. There's not really venues to play. There's a lot of bars with stages, but other than that. But you know what? I think we managed to make a scene. We get a scene going in Reading, us and bands like Sangodhara Karma and stuff. And the people did come.
Yeah.
Like, because otherwise
it starts with your mates and your friends.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. That's where it starts. And then their friends.
Yeah.
It's just this.
I mean, we played like Purple Turtle, and then there was people there that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And that were singing the songs, and we were like, oh, right. Okay, that's a sign.
Hmm.
And then we kind of, you know, we progressed to Sub 89, which was always like a massive thing for us.
Yeah.
Like practicing, like our first practice in here. With Joe was in this place, and we were like, oh, one day we could play Sub 89. That's like a big room.
That was our goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, and now we're playing that, and now we've sold out the Hexagon, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Sub 89 is a bit of a stepping stone place. I remember seeing Wolf Alice there, like, I don't know,
it must have been
18 months, 24 months ago now,
yeah,
and
sure.
Now they're like main stage Reading or what have you, they're always there.
Big Ben.
Reading Festival then, I mean, you've done 2015, it was introducing, 2017 Festival Republic, 2018 question mark?
I don't think so.
Not gonna happen.
I don't know. No.
Would you have known by now? Surely it's all booked by now.
We're on this kind of like, we can't say, because if we were gonna do it, we wouldn't be able to say.
Well, I don't think anyone's been announced for it.
No, I think
my Fishing for a World Exclusive, the first band.
Probably, yeah.
It's not going
to
work.
I think it would be cooler for us to, we don't want to be necessarily a band, overstay their welcome. And we had a really good time last year, and we'll see what happens this year. But if we don't play there, and I don't think it will be the end. I think it will be, you know, We'll play it again in the future.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It'll be even more special.
If there's a 2-year gap between each, then you make a genuine step up, don't you?
That's it. You've got to give yourself, like these major festivals, you've got to give yourself room to grow as well as a band, and where you build and what stage you play.
Why everyone's going to go to the same show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're still on the same. We're still, this year, obviously, we're writing some new music, but we're still on the album one cycle,
same set list to a large
extent. It's a similar set list, and we've changed stuff around for the February tour, which will be fun, and hopefully the rest of the year, but it's pretty much a similar song, so I guess they're going to be, I mean, if we play this year, it'll probably be the same, a similar set to last year.
Yeah.
Or we might get more time, who knows.
Bring someone on from the headline acts, get a guest appearance. Have you got any special plans for the Hexagon show then? Are you going to do anything differently, or is it just going to be one of those just big balls out kind of nights?
Couldn't possibly say.
We like collaborating with other artists. Let's put it that way. We like we like putting on support bands that we really admire and like. So we've got these guys, Ubbekin, and we've got a wicked band called Yonica. And we put them on because we respect them as musicians and we like collaborating in a live environment. And that's all I can say.
Who doesn't like doing that?
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to get some questions on your sort of other music influences.
Cool.
As you go around. Like, obviously, I kind of imagine you've done a bit of US, you've done a bit of Asia and everything. You must have a lot of travelling going on.
Yeah.
As you're going down the dusty roads of the American outback and whatnot,
yeah.
What's your sort of ideal listening to in that sort of travelling scenario?
I don't know, like Fleetwood Mac.
Fleet Foxes, when we were driving through the Alps. Was it the Alps?
Yeah, it was the Alps on my birthday. Snowing. We were driving
to Switzerland.
From Switzerland to Paris.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and we listened to Fleet Foxes. Yeah, that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And like Tom Manager was playing like music really loud in the front, and we played like Fleet Foxes.
Yeah, he was playing Christmas songs in November.
Oh. So
we were like, enough of that, and started throwing like jelly babies at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Fleet Foxes are cool. Yeah, but like, I mean, when we're in America or whatever, we were in LA recently and we were just like listening to loads of music that we knew was made in LA from like Joni Mitchell, Carole King, I don't know, what else?
Tom Petty
and all that kind of stuff. And it just sounded better there. It just sounded, it made sense
just works
over there. Mm. And I mean, we were in the middle of this heat wave in October and it was like the hottest October we've ever had. And we were saying to these people in LA, like, it's so hot. And they were like, yeah, it's never usually this hot either.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool experience. We were so jet lagged that we were like waking up at like 8. And we had a hot tub that was like colder than like the air. So we were like, by 10 a.m., we were like cracking open beers in this hot tub. The sun beating down on us and like being like, this is so hot. It was such a weird experience. But it was probably one of the better trips I've been on.
Yeah, it was good.
And what do you see for yourself in 2018 then? Is talk of a second album going to start coming out? Or your talk of it going to happen rather than the album coming out?
I think it's not talking anymore, mate. It's like screaming in each other's faces and crying. I think that's where we're at the moment with the second album. Like, where are the hits? Where are the hits, Matt?
Yeah.
No, I think, yeah, we'll probably be doing some new music at some point. I think we'll try and get into a studio.
So you've got the February tour. Have you got anything nailed down, planned after that? You've got any shows that you know you're
festivals,
playing?
Festivals, I think.
So, well, yeah, I mean...
We announced one today, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So, basically, we will be done in the UK touring-wise after this February tour. Mm. And it's kind of nice that the big last big show is going to be...
Hexagon.
Which is kind of... It's almost full circle. And we're going to be going straight to Korea and Japan for a couple of shows in March, which we're really excited about. And then, yeah, it is festivals. We announced one today, All Points East, at in Victoria Park. It's with Catfish and the Bottlemen,
Blossoms,
us,
The Neighbourhood,
Frank Carter, The Hunter, all these bands, which should be really cool. And then we announced Boardmasters about a couple of weeks ago. So that'd be really fun to return to that. That's such a great location.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of, we're in the depths of winter now. I kind of just want to get to summer and the festival season. I
feel a bit of vitamin D on my skin.
We've got plenty more to announce in the for the summer as well. We've got a full summer. It's kind of no rest for the wicked. It's not really, I mean, the reaction to the album was really something when we first released it, but it's almost a testament to how it's connected to people that we're still going out and doing. We had to put on another UK tour, and we're going out to Asia again, and we're going out to all these places and stuff.
And still really got exciting. The momentum.
Oh yeah, it feels like it, man. We've enjoyed this little January month off, and then from February the 1st we're gonna get stuck right in again.
Beautiful. Well, I'm thoroughly looking forward to your show on February the 10th at the Hexagon. It's pointless me saying the date because it's sold out. So if anyone listening to this is looking for tickets, you're going to have to go and buy GoGo or come and knock on these guys' door and ask really nicely for tickets. But it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. If any time anything interesting happens with Reading FC, we'll be in touch for a bit of reaction, no doubt.
Awesome.
Nice.
Thanks, man.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.